What if every day you had the chance to experience more love and intimacy in your life? We're going to be sharing stories of struggles and triumphs in love, sex, and relationships, along with expert advice to create more conscious connections. Enjoy this podcast with Dawn Richard. Wake up to real love.
Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Richard, also known as The Awakening with Dawn. And this is the Wake Up to Real Love podcast show, where we share stories of struggles, triumphs in love, sex, and relationships, along with expert advice to create more conscious connections. I'm so honored today to welcome my friend Nadia Husa. Hi, Nadia.
Hello, Dawn. Thank you for having me here.
Nadia is a beautiful, beautiful woman. She's a true powerhouse in the world of empowerment coaching. She has over 25 years of experience as a counselor and child youth worker. Nadia has dedicated her career to helping others gain confidence and take control of their lives. She's a firm believer in the power of holistic approach, combining neuroscience, mindfulness, spirituality, hypnotherapy, and self-love, self-love club, to help her clients release subconscious blocks that are holding them back. As a thought leader in the field of social and emotional intelligence, Nadia has created a program that guides individuals through a journey of self-discovery, reinvention, and intentional action. With her passion, expertise, and unwavering commitment to her client's success, Nadia is an inspiration to all those seeking to transform their lives and achieve their dreams. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here to talk about this really interesting topic.
We resonate on so many things. We've had a couple of conversations and we're just like, blah, 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 blah. We can continue on and on and on, right?
Yeah, for sure. Love it.
So I'll just start by asking you, how did you become interested in all this stuff?
Well, it started back when I worked in education. I worked in the education system for 25 years with kids from kindergarten all the way up to grade 12. Mm-hmm. But what I realized is that the adults in the building, you know, the educators, the leaders, and the parents, we're walking around having the same tantrums as the kids. And adults are just children in bigger bodies.
Yeah.
So through my own trauma, through my own realizations, after my own rock bottom, and after, you know, working with kids for so long and adults, I was supporting the adults as well, is I realized that I need to just work with adults now because, hey, this is the real pandemic, a lack of self-love.
Yeah.
And it starts as children, and we're conditioned in the school system to not honor ourselves, to not love ourselves, to not believe in ourselves. It's conditioning. And then we grow up and we continue acting or operating from these limiting beliefs that are stored in our subconscious mind. And that's why I became a hypnotherapist, among other things, of course.
How do you think that we're conditioned in these settings? Because it's not just school, right? It's family of origin as well.
Yes, it's generational trauma. It's societal conditioning. It's, it's familial. Like, we're conditioned because of the brainwave state, right? That's what gets us to conditioning, because mm-hmm. the younger we are, the slower our brainwave state is. And so we are like a sponge. I know if you've ever heard of people saying that kids are like sponges.
Right.
Literally. That's what they are.
Their brains just go.
Yeah. They're just, even when before you can walk and talk, like when you're an infant, you're operating in the delta brainwave state. So, you know, it's funny because when I had my boys, my older son is 21. So over 21 years ago, my mom used to say, oh, you're spoiling him. You're picking him up. You're sleeping with him. You're not putting him in a separate room. Just let his, in those days, they, even my days when I became a mom, people were like, cried out method. Just put them in a separate room and let them cry. The lungs will develop. But it just never sat well with me.
Yeah.
And what I realized later, right? So the thing is about that is that babies can literally develop beliefs at that age that, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not safe, I'm not loved, because they're not
cared for, right?
Yeah, they're not being responded to. Their physical needs, their emotional, spiritual needs are not being met. Mm-hmm. So then can you imagine if there's so many people walking this earth because their parents, or none of us are perfect as parents, none of us had perfect parents. We are all living unconsciously for the most part. And so what are we going to do? We're going to raise unconscious kids. We're going to raise kids that have these limiting beliefs. And then how does that manifest? Through, you know, toxic relationships, which is, you know, speaking to your whole podcast, you know, your, what you speak about, relationships.
And I did the same thing with my kids. It was like, I would lay down with them, you know, and like rub their backs and cuddle with them till they were probably in middle school, you know, until they didn't want to, right? Until they're like,
yeah,
no more, mom. And I remember a lot of times my former spouse would, you know, why are you doing that? I was like, because I want them to feel comforted and nurtured and cared for, and in a non-sexual way, you know, because I feel like so many kids grow up not getting their nurturing needs met because they, you know, the parents think cry it out or, and so how can we teach? Because these adults, like you said, these adults are walking around with the same challenges or issues. And so how do we retrain ourselves? How do we retrain ourselves?
Well, it's really powerful to, you know, I'm not an affirmations girl unless it's right in the morning when I first wake up or when I'm falling off to sleep. Because that's when the door to the subconscious mind is open. Mm-hmm. So if you have an affirmation that you want to say, you can say it at that time, like, I'm safe, I am worthy of being loved. This is really powerful. But reprogramming the subconscious mind is, you know, a way to create more immediate shifts. I know I've been in years of therapy, and, you know, when you only activate or incorporate the conscious cognitive part of your mind, that's not where learning and transformation happens. We don't learn through, we don't change through insight. Mm-hmm. Transformation happens through incorporating the subconscious mind. It's a very holistic approach as well.
So I have heard before, Nadia, that 95% of our programming or 95% of our actions are subconscious. So if you're only talking to the 5%, what kind of impact can that have?
Exactly. So for 95% of the day, we are operating on autopilot. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're driving, you're getting from one place to another, you get up, you take your shower, you go down, you have your coffee, you get ready. You're in autopilot, not being conscious, right? It's habitual. Mm-hmm. And so when we're doing these actions, it's like our body's in charge, not our minds. So conscious living is another thing that I'm really into. Conscious living, so important.
Don't a lot of people say, change your mind, change your life?
Yes. Yeah. But to do that,
what do you say about that?
Change your mind, change your life. Yes, absolutely. You need to really be conscious to do that, though. And it's not just about mindset. It's not just about, you know, changing your life through your mindset. It's about incorporating the body, too. Think about it. If you have trauma, and all of us have had trauma, it doesn't have to be terrible things, right? It's sitting in your subconscious mind still. Even things, like I said, you're not being seen, acknowledged, heard, whatever, as a child. This trauma is sitting in our bodies. Mm-hmm. If we're not going to release it through whatever, dance, exercise, art, yoga, then it's getting trapped. There are times where I break down in yoga class. I used to wonder, like, why am I literally crying? Because my emotions are moving through me and they're being released. So yes, mindset's important. Changing your mind is important, but incorporating the body too in a holistic approach is very empowering when you, you know, like I said, incorporate everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about so many people are taught to suppress their emotions. Right. So all that stuff is stored in the body. And so,
yes,
you know, this is a huge part of the healing process, is actually learning to acknowledge what's really going on inside of you.
Oh, yes, that is so, so true. We are so conditioned, because when we're children, like little kids, and you cry, and then you're like, they tell, people tell you, oh, don't cry. Mm-hmm. Here's some ice cream. Let's make it all better.
Right.
Like, it's like, I can't, I'm not comfortable with my feelings, and I'm not comfortable with you feeling, so I have to make it better. And I see adults doing this all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you talk to a friend and you're upset, they try to make you feel better. And they send you that worrying energy. It's like, why is the goal to make me feel better right now? Just hold space. That's it.
How do people how do people learn to do that, though? Because that's, I mean, that may be a foreign concept for a lot of people. What are you talking about, holding space? What does that even mean? I haven't been taught to do that. I don't know what it is. Why is it important?
I believe that, you know, being the change that we want to see in the world is so important. And I had a friend come over recently. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, mm-hmm. and he was in the area. So he came by, and he was going through a lot, and he just broke down. And right away he said, I'm so sorry. And I said, sorry for what?
Uh-huh.
You're apologizing?
For having feelings?
For having feelings? Yeah. And somebody else talked to me recently, and they're like, oh, sorry, I was so negative today. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not your friend so that you can entertain me.
Right.
Like, you're not, you're having a bad day. You're allowed to vent about it and talk about it. And I'm here to hold space for you. But that's really how I show up for people. I remind them that it's okay to feel.
Mm.
But it's hard, because when I feel and I'm around people who have this belief, then people don't hold space for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I think because, I mean, people apologize for getting teary-eyed or crying or getting angry or whatever. And it's like the emotion is not the issue.
So I got to say something about that.
Go ahead.
Before I forget. So the reason that they do that is because our beliefs create our reality. Our beliefs and our values are the driving force to what we do. So in this mm-hmm. case, I'll talk about beliefs. If you're on autopilot and you start tearing and you say sorry, that is rooted in a belief. Your belief is, I shouldn't be crying.
Right.
It's not okay to feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating negativity. This person doesn't want to know it. Whatever your narrative is, that's the belief. These are the beliefs. And then you act from that because you're on autopilot. And this applies to everything in our life. So really being conscious of, well, why? When you're conscious, you will question why you're doing what you're doing and what you're thinking about.
When did you become aware of your own limiting beliefs?
Well, I started going through an awakening about 10 to 12 years ago. And that's when I started to realize. But then those realizations really, I changed exponentially when I became a hypnotherapist about 3 years ago.
So tell me the process from, like, how did you even know that you were going through an awakening? Like, what happened?
It was my rock bottom, where I realized that, oh my God, the very thing that I wanted is the very thing that I'm not getting in my life. I had a lot of trauma in my family, very toxic family dynamics. And so I was hell bent that I was going to have a happy family life.
Mm.
Now, what I learned is that when you leave a toxic family to create a happily ever after, that doesn't happen. Simply because sometimes we just have a soul contract with the universe that these people are in your life to teach you a lesson. Run away from it and you will experience it again with different people, the same people in different costumes.
Right.
There is no running away. The only way around it is through it. I wanted love, loyalty, support. Loyalty especially, because I wasn't raised with any loyalty. And I always had this feeling, this intuition that like family is supposed to be loyal to each other, mm-hmm. supposed to have each other's back.
Right.
And I never got to experience that. And then when I really started to realize that I'm in this really difficult situation and I was literally dying inside. And then I started
in your marriage, in your marriage.
Yes. In my marriage.
Okay.
And then I decided to search because it wasn't my marriage was a catalyst to the awakening, but it wasn't the whole reason behind my trauma. Mm-hmm. It was like, it put me, when you reach your rock bottom, I guess, I don't know if you've had one, but a lot of us have had rock bottoms where it's like, you are just brought to your knees. And what happens is the good thing that happens is that you're in a state of complete presence.
Mm.
You're not living from the past.
Right.
You're not worrying about your future. You are right here, right now in this moment, awake to everything.
Feeling.
So, and noticing, feeling, you know, and then you're being more than doing. And so I started to search for mm-hmm. my spirituality. And one of the biggest things that happened to me is I realized that my religion, my conditioned beliefs that I was raised with, actually didn't make sense to me. I wasn't mm-hmm. living within my truest values. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you are not living within alignment with your truest values, you will always feel demoralized. You'll feel like you're in survival mode. You won't feel good about your life.
Mm.
But your narratives will tell you stuff like, you know, it's security. You know, if I leave my job or my relationship or whatever, people are going to judge me or I'll fail or whatever it is. These are just narratives.
Right.
So then my mom and my husband were very upset when I left my religion. And they were having lots of little bonding chats about me, even though they never got along. This kind of connected them. And I was in my bedroom one day and he was on the phone with my mom and I was like, what? That's like literally madness. It was in that moment that I became clear. And I said, the reason why I got married was to have loyalty and I'm not getting it. Mm. So I'm done. Like, what am I literally doing here?
Right.
That's and so point. When, yeah. So when you're clear and you have that clarity, that's when things start happening for you. Clarity is the first step.
So can you talk about your process of what you went through, that healing journey once you made that decision? Like, I need to separate from all the things that I thought I believed in or I thought supported me.
Yeah. Wow. Looking back at that, Dawn, it was such a powerful time in my life. Because one of the realizations I came to, I made this decision that there's a lot of chaos going around me right now.
Yeah.
But right here, right now is all I have. I took power in the power of now. I would go and sleep in the basement. We had a really nice basement and I would just like sleep down there, but I would stay awake and just listen to like marathon Eckhart Tolle just to gain my peace, my mm-hmm. calm, my clarity. And even though there was so much happening with people opposing me about the religion thing and about me searching and people like they were not comfortable with it because I've always been a doormat.
Mm.
And I was afraid. I wasn't feeling safe in my body. But I, you know what? I started to really say, yes, I'm not feeling safe. I started to become aware. I started to practice mindfulness. But then another thing I did do, and this is what the missing piece is for a lot of people, is saying, yes, I'm uncomfortable, but yes, I'm going to challenge myself anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to this decision that I told my husband that because he was not comfortable because I was eating non-kosher meat when we go to Thai restaurants and stuff, when they say, oh, do you want the chicken or the seafood? And I would say, if I said the chicken, they'd be like, really, you're going to have that non-kosher chicken? And even though I knew it was going to cause problems, I was always the person that this is going to cause a problem, so I'm not going to do it. Now Peacemaker. I say this is going to, right. Now I say this is going to cause a problem, so I'm going to do it.
You became a little defiant, Miss Nadia.
Yes, exactly. My ODD kicked in, oppositional defiant disorder. So I love it. So I said to him, I said, listen, and I said it shaking, but I said it anyways. I said, listen, I'm not hurting anybody. So you're going to have to decide how bad this bothers you and you make your decision accordingly. And I found a lot of peace in the discomfort, and I found a lot of peace in the chaos as well. So I was not waiting for my situation to change before I felt better.
So I didn't. You gave yourself permission to just do what you wanted.
Yeah. And even though I wasn't happy, I was happy, if that makes sense. Because I said to myself, no, yeah, this is a hard time, but that's okay. I'm gonna embrace this. And my vibration changed, and I kept on pushing the envelope with just being who I am unapologetically. And people were really annoyed with that. I started posting things about unapologetic living. How many of us use, you know, social media as like an outlet, you know, to get people to know who we are, you know? It's kind of like, So basically I started doing that, started putting it out there, and people were getting really annoyed with this whole, like, what is this authentic living and unapologetic living? And it was triggering people.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they were benefiting from how I was before.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of times we accommodate everybody else to make them feel more comfortable when we're sitting in our own discomfort.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not our job to, you know, hold back on our authenticity to make others comfortable.
It's like, why are your needs more important than my needs?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that was not a question I asked myself until that time. Realization, conscious living is so, so powerful. But the only thing is, it often comes from trauma, from rock bottoms.
Well, and it possibly alienates people that you love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. There's that meme that's going around that says, you know, something about peace comes with a lot of goodbyes.
Oh, wow.
How true is that, Dawn?
Wow, that was true when I chose to get divorced.
I bet.
Yeah, because I felt oftentimes like I was the accommodator. You know, whenever a sacrifice needed to be made, it was usually on me.
Right, exactly. And I feel like women have that pressure a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Why?
It's a societal conditioning. Mm-hmm. It's trauma, generational trauma after generation. This is how, even though we show up very differently than our grandparents and stuff like that, it's still there. Mm-hmm. The residue still exists. Definitely. And I mean, hey, I'm not saying men don't have their own challenges. They absolutely do.
Of course.
But yeah, we all need to be a little bit easier on each other.
Mm-hmm. So what happened when you started saying no to others and yes to yourself?
They were trying to oppose it. They didn't like it. They were creating conflict. I remained grounded in myself. Because I was meditating and I was praying, like spiritual practices, and it was helping me. Mm-hmm. It was really helping me. And they helped me by bullying me. Psychological abuse, bullying, I've experienced it my entire life. Mm-hmm. I call myself a narcissistic abuse survivor. And for those of you who are listening this is huge now. Yeah. Narcissism. The awareness is out. I had no idea what I was going through when I was going through it. I had no idea there was this label. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand what was going on. Subconsciously, I thought it was me. It was my fault.
Right. What's the matter with me?
I felt so much shame. Like, how can I divorce this person? Nothing's ever worked out for me. This is going to be all on me. But that was so stupid for me to think that way. It was my soul contract with the universe. Because if I was, you know, if this was a part of my life from the time I was a child, at home, at school, at work, in my marriage,
wow,
then yeah, I'm the common denominator.
Wow.
But how was I perpetuating this problem? Well, I was allowing it. Okay. And when I stopped allowing
it. Can you talk about allowing it first before you talk about how you stopped allowing it?
That's cool. So how I allowed it was, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. One day, so I told you my mom and my husband were not comfortable with me leaving my religion. Mm-hmm. So they decided that they were going to have someone from the mosque come over to speak to me. And they set it up. And I was at my sister's house. All of us were there with except for my mom. And we were like, oh, we have to go now because my mom and my husband set up this meeting. And she's like, well, why are you going? Like, you don't even want to go. Like, why don't you just tell them? Like, mm-hmm. She was never a people pleaser. She would put people in their place. And it was me who was like, oh, but they set it up. Like, I have to go. Like, mm-hmm. I was not feeling safe in my body mm-hmm. to be me. And so I allowed it by going. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like shaking that younger part of me because there were so many countless situations, Dawn, like this. Even at work. In every environment, this is what I've been going through my entire life. So of course I'm going to reflect that back at me in terms of who my partner is.
Right.
Because if you don't change on the inside, well, it's not your conscious mind
right.
that attracts your partner to you. Your emotions sit at the subconscious level. Your emotions are in charge. You are not in charge. You're on autopilot. You know, all of this, oh, but I'm in love. Look at this energy and stuff like that. The chemistry and the attraction. It's not.
That it's, goes away.
You need to be in my life. Yeah. It's like, you need to be in my life. It's the magnet that attracts the two of you together. That's the catalyst, but it's not based on reality. It's like, I need you to be in my life so that I can heal, because not only that, but it's familiar energy.
Right.
Even though it's not a good feeling, it's still familiar energy. If right. I had a parent that didn't support me, I will attract an unsupportive spouse because I'm unconscious. It's all about energy. I'm feeling familiar energy. So I draw this person into my life and it becomes my reality. And I don't like it on a conscious level. I'm aware. But on a subconscious level, it still feels comfortable. That's why people stay in marriages. Like, you and I left, but how many people do you know who are literally jealous and envious of you for living your best life, divorced, happily divorced?
Yeah. It only took me 27 years, but.
Yeah, I know. It took me 15. Oh my God. You look too young to be divorced for 27 years. What are you talking about?
No. I was married. I was married for 27 years.
I mean, married for 27 years. How long have you been divorced for?
This summer will be 4 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. So mine is 10 now. This year it's going to be 10 years.
And how much more peace do you experience? Have you experienced since you decided to take control?
When you make a decision, like Paulo Coelho says, the universe conspires to make it happen. I remember saying the next 37 years of my life is not going to be like my last 37. Mm-hmm. I made some like real decisions and I have stated that words have power. And my life honestly has been amazing in the last 10 years. For the first time in my life.
All right. So what kind of positive changes have you seen?
Peace.
Experienced. Felt. Yeah. Peace.
Okay. So peace, calm, clarity, success, following my passion, manifestations. Mm. You know, I live in a beautiful neighborhood. I moved here 2 years ago when the pandemic hit. I spent the first 6 months of the pandemic doing what everyone else is doing, baking bread and stuff. And then I started to take it seriously and say, what am I doing here? I don't like this area anymore. I want to live near nature. And I found a beautiful house near one of the biggest hiking trails in the city. I felt like such a nice. Badass, Dawn, when I quit my job and I started my business and I moved here. Imagine that. You're supposed to be at work on a Monday morning. And you're making coffee and going out and having it in the trails in front of the waterfalls. It's walking distance. So, you know, wow. When you really change, we have more power than they want us to believe. You know, people always think what's likely, what's unlikely. We learn that in school, right? Oh, the odds are against me. I can't do that. Who am I kidding? That's unrealistic. No, it's not. No, it's not. You believe, I know it sounds airy-fairy, but it's not. So yeah, was it hard and scary as a single mom with a mortgage to like get up, move to an area where I don't know anybody, quit my job and start a business? Hell yeah, it was hard.
Yeah.
But you can do hard things. And I've given the universe no choice. Like, sorry, you have no choice. My business is going to be booming. That's it.
Well, don't you think that a lot of people are afraid? It's like they're sitting in their own discomfort because they're afraid of the unknown.
Oh, absolutely. People don't want to explore the unknown because they are not in a state of presence and mindfulness. They are at the mercy of their fear. But for me, when I was brought to my knees in my rock bottom, I was like, no, I am not afraid. I am going to do what I have to do. And that's really how I did it. It was the state of presence that gave me that grounding and that courage to do that. Even now, like a couple of days ago, I was literally on the floor crying, thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that it is easy.
Yeah.
It is hard. Okay. So I'm like, what do I do now? I have my offers. I have my automations. Yes, I've been serving clients for a couple of years. Yes, it's going well, but it could go better. Mm-hmm. And this is for me, it's a wake up call that I have to change my processes and I have to do more spiritual manifestation work. You know, you really have to have that perfect combination of masculine and feminine energy and when to know when you have to worry about processes and planning and problem solving and doing
the doing.
And when do you release, you trust the process, you let go. That is my superpower because when I realize something's not working, I change things and I see, okay, maybe I need to be more in my masculine. Now is the time to be more in my feminine. And it always works out for me.
The being.
Yeah. Like the whole thing about knowing when to do what, when to take action and when to let go. That's important.
Yeah.
It's really important. I guide my clients on that a lot. It's like, no, it's your time now to do something or it's your time to manifest and trust the process and have the faith, right? It's very powerful.
How do you know the difference, Nadia?
It's something that I can't explain. It's like, if I ask you, how did you learn to ride your bike? Can you tell me? It's like, okay, balanced. Okay, what is that balance? Like, what is that? Right? But you just know.
Doesn't that come with trusting in yourself?
Absolutely, it does. Yeah. You have to trust in yourself. And you know, I'll give you a tip on trusting yourself is I always get my clients to do this. And when I first get my clients to do this, they're like, oh my God, really, do I have to do this? And then after they're like, okay, this is pretty easy. Because I told them, I go, this just sounds hard, but it's going to be very easy. Write down 30 things that you are proud of about yourself, things that you've accomplished, or just things that you just love about yourself. And that
30, really, is that all? No, I'm just kidding.
Right? Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Absolutely. So basically what happens is you're showing your brain that I can do hard things or look at all the things that I've accomplished. And then your brain will show you more evidence to support that because what you focus on grows. So this is a very, very powerful practice.
Okay. While you were explaining that, I was thinking about what about people who are sitting in their rock bottom that don't feel good about anything or a few things, I should say, a few things.
Well, the thing is, right, there's a lot of simplicity in that, like what in terms of process, what they have to do. They just have to start being mindful. They just have to start living in the present moment, and then they'll start getting the answers. Whether it's, oh, you know what, I need this. I need to read this book, or I need to take this action, or I need to get a guide or a coach to help me. Whatever it is they need to do, the answers will come to them. I need to start journaling. I need to start meditating. just be present. Focus on your breath. If you are listening to this and you have reached your rock bottom, breathe.
That's a good one, because many people don't know how to breathe properly.
Yeah, you would think it's such a, you know, an easy thing. It's our life force. It's so powerful.
I think a lot of people, the only time they really breathe well is when they sleep. As opposed to out in the world, you know, running, chasing, doing all the things
This reminds me of when I was giving birth, when I was in labor, and I hadn't. Okay, so I had the epidural. I wasn't a warrior. It's almost like you feel like a failure as a woman if you make that judgment at that time, right? At that time, I didn't care. I was like, yeah. I just need it. Yeah. But anyways, there was a midwife in the hospital, and I hadn't had the epidural by then, and she was taking me through breathing techniques. And let me tell you, Dawn, I was like, I want her again. If I have a baby, I want her. Because it was so easy. The pain, I didn't feel the pain because of the breathing techniques she was taking me through. Yeah. And the doctor, the nurses didn't know that stuff. Only the midwives did that.
Interesting. So how can you be a midwife for yourself?
Yeah, you are your own guru. You know, a lot of times people say, like yesterday I got a message from one of my clients saying, I want to thank you so much for everything that you're teaching me. And I get these messages a lot from my clients, just random text messages. And I'm just like, you know what? You have this inside of you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being open to tapping into that.
Right.
Right? Because it's already inside of them. They just needed a guide. That's all it was. And even when they say like, oh, I'm so glad I met you, you changed my life. Well, it's a collaborative approach. If the client does not do their part, the transformation will never happen. I will always do my part, but it's up to them to do their part, right?
But like you were talking about earlier, Nadia, a lot of people avoid it because it is challenging. It's not, you know, a lot of times with, I'm trying to look for my pen. I wish I could wave my magic wand and poof, it's done. But that's like anything. It's like training for a marathon. You don't just, you know, go for a run the first time and think that you can run 24 miles. But yet, but our emotional processes, because we're conditioned not to feel or to suppress our feelings, it's like, I don't know what that experience is going to be like. I'm afraid of that experience because I've never allowed myself to experience maybe the depths of my feelings of despair or unworthiness or fear or insecurities or whatever the thing is.
Exactly. And we have this subconscious belief that these are bad things. Mm-hmm. They're not. This is where one of my pet peeves, Dawn, is toxic positivity. It's like,
Everything will be fine.
Yeah. Like, who cares? Like, you just really have to feel your feelings and know that this is a journey. It's a part of it. And yes, you're right. People don't want to do it because it's challenging. But why do they not want to do it? Because it's challenging. Because of their subconscious limiting beliefs that are running the show in their lives.
Because maybe I can just take a magic pill and it'll, you know, I'll be over it.
Distractions, addictions, running after relationships, shopping. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like always going out, you know, like I had a friend who wouldn't want to do one thing after another. And I'm like, I cannot go out that much. I'm sorry. Like, what are you running away from? Sometimes I feel like I need to like make shit up to people, because when they say to me, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing for the vacation? Like, what are you doing this weekend? And I'm literally in my bliss, like literally. And I don't feel like I need anything. And then they're like, oh, and I feel this, like, I feel sorry for you energy on me. But it's like, I'm good. That's the thing, right? Like, we all think differently. Yeah. We all experience life differently. And if we're mindful, we will see through the lens of objectivity instead of subjectivity. right?
Well, and I think so that whole sense of being comfortable with yourself, regardless of what you're experiencing.
Yes, absolutely. Being comfortable with yourself. I always say life is like fractions. What you do to yourself, the universe does to you. You love yourself, the universe will love you. You honor yourself, the universe will honor you. But we have this subconscious belief that if I put myself last, that martyr syndrome thing, and I show up for you, that you are just going to pour back right into me. And the intention is, if I do for you, you'll do for me. Well, I do for you, and I think that I'm so noble, and then you don't do for me, and I think, well, I do all this stuff for you. Well, yeah, what was the intention?
Right. It was conditional. Right? Conditional.
Yeah. And of course, we don't want to pour into people who are not pouring into us. It's the law of reciprocity. That's also there. We need to be aware of that as well. Right? But I find that my intentions are good. Mm-hmm. And I want to show up for people and I want to support people, and not because I want it back. However, there is that underlying expectation that, you know what, like at least once, you know, show up for me too. And if you don't, well, it's going to break down the relationship. Right.
Right.
It is what it is. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. It's a part of 3D reality. Like, sorry, it just is what it is, right? I like to be real. My thing is all about keeping it real. Yes, I'm all rainbows and unicorns, but I also like to keep it real.
Well, and be unapologetic. I mean,
exactly.
That really is true, because I can't tell you how many times, people say sorry for nothing that they should be sorry about. Right.
Yeah.
Like I trip over somebody and they say sorry. And it's like, you didn't do anything. Why are you saying sorry? We have this conditioning, like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? Did you actually do something hurtful, intentionally hurtful? You know, as
that's so funny.
Excuse me, right?
That's so funny, because they say Canadians are like that. We say sorry,
sorry
for everything.
Sorry.
Sorry. My kids say that. They're like, you know, you say sorry like a real Canadian. That's what they say to me. And I'm just like, I'm being conscious of that now, because they're like, sorry. That's what my kids say about me. It's hilarious.
Okay, so how did you get into hypnotherapy, and how did that transform the way that you are? How does that transform you? How did that transform you? Because I assume that you went through your own bout of hypnotherapy before you became a hypnotherapist.
Yeah, so basically, I love that question, because when I started to really, I told you, right, when I started to really take my power back and live for me. Mm-hmm. And then you asked me, well, how did that impact your life? What kinds of things did you see happening? One of the things I told you was manifestation. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what I did was, one day when I was at work, this was about 5 years ago, I said, universe, and I did the same thing when I wanted my divorce. I said, universe, give me a good exit plan. The universe gave it to me. Okay. Mm-hmm. This time I was like, universe, I'm done with this job, but I don't know where to go or what to do. Please give me guidance. What do I do? I was lost. When I'm lost, you better believe I ask the universe. And so the universe started giving me these ads on my Instagram, which I never get these kinds of ads, but it was about this mindfulness program, facilitator program. And I was like, oh, that looks so interesting. My job will pay for this, because it's in alignment with my job. Like, this just looks so cool. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, whatever. I saw it once, I saw it twice, I saw it three times. The third time, I took action.
Bang you over the head. Forms. Boom.
Yes, exactly. I took it. I took the forms to my boss, signed it, got the reimbursement. I paid for it, all of that. Got into mindfulness. I got, I got certified to facilitate this program. And it's amazing. It's a 12-week evidence-based program. And then that led me to this hypnotherapy teacher, like, messaging me, like, hey, when you put it out there, it comes back to you. I remember when I wanted to meet Dr. Shefali. She's Oprah's parenting guru. And she merges Eastern philosophy with Western psychology.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so then somebody that worked with her literally contacted me. And then I went to her conference and I met her like in New York City, like a month later. Cool. Yeah, so every time like I want something, I get it if I practice my own formula. Mm-hmm. So what I did was one day I sat there and I said, what did I literally do to get everything I want in my life? And I wrote down 9 things. And now I'm creating a book with that and a digital course.
Cool.
Because I want to share, like, guys, this is how you manifest. It's an art. It really, really is. But it's always worked for me.
What do people teach now about manifestation that you think doesn't really work?
Good question. I know that people, I don't know about that, but I do know there's this misconception when people don't know things about like, I'm getting something externally. Like the thing is, we have to be it in order to have it. We have to feel it in order to have it. And we just, everything is available to us in the quantum. We just have to tune into it and align with it. So I think there's different spiritual teachers who teach about meditation. And to be honest with you, I don't even know what they teach because I already am a master at this. So I don't need to learn that stuff.
So how do you, because I think a lot of people are challenged with this. How do you feel into it or be it? It's like that doubting Thomas. I need to see it to believe it.
Oh yeah.
How do you not do that? How do you do feeling it and being it in order to, you know, have that same vibration to actually receive it?
So you have to get off of autopilot. You have to get off of autopilot because you can't be afraid about the future or worried about the future or depressed about the past. You have to open up your mind to belief. And when you literally believe, when your beliefs create your reality, if you have a belief that I can have anything I want, then you start to visualize it and you start to really feel into it. You start to create that, embody that energy, which then leads to you aligning with that energy because like attracts like. When something bad happens to me, and if I run into a person who's toxic or who mistreats me, I ask myself, well, what's up with me? Like, why did I attract this? You know, so looking at yourself and getting yourself into the driver's seat of your life and stopping blaming other people. Right? That's really important. There's different parts of this, right? Yes, there's clarity, but there's also not being in victim mentality. It's about getting into the driver's seat of your life. It's about belief. It's about self-love. It's about honoring yourself. There's so many parts to this.
And so how do people learn to do this? Because, you know, like we started off the conversation talking about we're conditioned with all of these limiting beliefs, you know, suppression of our emotions, disconnecting from our body. So it's like, it's this whole sense of realigning ourselves. Is that what you would say?
Maybe. Yeah, absolutely. Realigning is a good, it's like our car needs to an alignment. Uh-huh. We need an alignment too.
Stop bumping into the curb.
Yeah, right? It's so true. It's very, very true. That's just the way it is. And then we get sidetracked from different things. Other people, we're living with others that have different beliefs. Like you wouldn't believe, Dawn, what happened to me yesterday. So I posted about on TikTok and Instagram Reel. I posted about how I manifested my divorce. And it's kind of weird for people because there's this negative connotation that's attached to divorce.
Right.
And it always gets me because when I was getting divorced, I was really happy. It was like I was glowing.
Me too.
Right. And a lot of people are like, I'm going through a divorce. And then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. But I was like, yeah, I'm getting.
Say congratulations.
Yeah. And then they would say stuff like, yeah, they would say like, I'm sorry. I wanted to say I'm sorry, but it looks like I shouldn't be saying I'm sorry. Yeah. Because I was announcing it with the same energy that someone would announce that they're getting married or having a baby.
Right.
So this guy, he responds on TikTok and he's like pissed. And he's like, why would you share that? That's disgusting. Like what, like divorce is shameful and all this stuff. And I'm wow. just like, dude, like, why are you literally shaming me? Like, this is the reason why people stay in toxic marriages. Cause they're yeah. so afraid yeah. because of the conditioning. What right. if, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Right.
Dr. Wayne Dyer. I love that quote.
Yeah.
And it's the truth. I mean, my experience is my experience. Maybe he's in a marriage where he just has to stay because of his beliefs. It's like, hey, I'm a robot. I'm here to live my life and be in survival mode and be like live in a situation where I'm not feeling good, but this is the rule. Because then he starts talking about religion and he's the religion that I used to be. Mm-hmm. So he was like, oh yeah, it's permissible. But I said, permissible for who? I said, I just wanted it. So I did it. I said,
but you're going against the religion.
I didn't ask anybody for permission. I didn't ask God for permission. I checked in with my soul. And I said, check in with your soul. How does your soul feel about you bullying me right now?
I bet he hasn't responded.
Yeah, like it was crazy back and forth. And then, yeah, he ended up with saying, you're right, because he ended up saying, oh, he said something like, oh, see, you backed off of a good conversation. Because he wanted to meet with me and talk to me and try to convince me. And he goes, you back out of a really important conversation. And I said, well, it's because I have low bullshit tolerance. Remember, I'm divorced. And then he goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know what? You got divorced. It was the best thing for you and your husband and everyone involved. I yeah. said, now you got it, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I don't care. When you're the black sheep, nobody has anything on you.
Mm.
Like, if he thinks that you're so bad, this is how you are, I don't have anything to say. I don't have to say no, but I was a good wife and I'm a good mom and I did this and I did. No, I have low bullshit tolerance. Let me feed into his belief about me. I'm okay with that. I have nothing to prove to anyone because mm-hmm. I know who I am. When you have integrity, you practice integrity, your character speaks for itself. You have nothing to prove to anyone.
That's like the pinnacle of the self-love club.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How are your kids with their self-love? Do you feel like you've been a good example for teaching them that?
Oh, good question. I think they've been a good example in teaching me that.
How?
Because our children, well, they honor themselves. Like I never did. Sometimes I look at them and say, I never would have done that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like I was always tippy-toeing around the people I lived with, always saying that they're okay and my mom and doing for her. And I don't see that from my kids. They're just in their flow. They're doing their thing. They're just like, I like this, man. So I learned from my kids. You know, our kids are the biggest platform for growth. They are the catalyst if we are paying attention. And yeah. And sometimes when you have kids with a throbbing spirit of their own, even if some, like my older son, he's more like that than my younger son. My younger son is like that too. But my older son is more of a disruptor. Mm-hmm. And a rebellious person. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I've had to stop in my track and just reevaluate my entire life. So I have him to thank for that. It might be a challenge. It's a challenge.
As
it's
a parent.
Been a challenge.
As a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I've learned a lot.
Yeah. My daughter and I had a conversation last night. She's 19. She'll be 20 in June. And she failed a lot of classes. Her sophomore year in high school, and it took her a while to catch up, you know, and finally graduate. So we're having a conversation about it because I was a good little student in high school, you know, straight A's and I don't know, people pleaser. I don't know what, but I just prided myself in doing well. And she said, do I feel badly about the choices I made? And she said, no, because I felt like I wasn't getting educated. You know, I felt like it was a waste of my time. I felt like they weren't teaching me. And I said, you know what? It seems like you're super passionate about this. And perhaps someday you'll completely transform the education system so that it serves all the kids instead of just the kids who can make good grades.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? This generation is very conscious. Mm-hmm. They're very awakened. And when I tell my kids, just because I'm older than you doesn't mean I know better.
No,
you can be energetically older than your parents. I know I am. So why wouldn't they be? We can learn from each other. There's no such thing as this age thing, you know? It's just time is an illusion.
Right, right.
So yeah.
They are our greatest teachers.
I know. They really are. We could talk forever, Dawn.
We could, but I know we're close to time. So I'll ask you the last question that I ask all my guests is, this podcast is called Wake Up to Real Love. So the question is, how do you define real love?
Real love, my first thought or feeling that came to mind when you said that was self-love. It's self-love because when you genuinely love yourself, you're not looking for love from a place of lack. Mm. And it's simply self-love. And, you know, people often think that it's selfish and that if you love yourself, you have no room to love other people. But that's just not true. You just don't have love for people who mistreat you. Mm-hmm. So that's real love.
I was going to say, when you said that, I thought that would be like saying you have one kid and you gave all your love to that one kid. You can't possibly have another kid and love them.
Yeah.
Or another kid.
Right.
Or another kid. Uh-huh. It's like our capacity for love just expands with the people that we love rather than contracts.
Exactly. And I had people on my lives on TikTok and instant messages and stuff talk to me about this. Like one guy said, no, you should absolutely not love yourself because when you love yourself, you don't want other people to love you. Another guy messaged me saying because he came on my podcast and he said, self-love is not a good thing because my name is Self-Love Diva. And he was like, I was like, oh, I'd love to hear what your insight is here. And he said, yeah, because when my wife started to love herself, she stopped loving me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say, well, how did you treat her? Because when you love yourself, you do not have space for other people who do not love you or honor you or treat you well.
Right.
That's important for people to know.
Right. And that words matter.
Yeah. Words matter.
So you have a beautiful, beautiful, amazing heart and soul. And I just am so grateful that you came here today to be with me.
Oh, thank you. And you know what I always say when people say that to me? I always say it's just a reflection of you. Mm-hmm. Because if you can recognize someone with beautiful energy, it's because you have it, mm-hmm. you know? And that's so important.
Thank you.
I thank you for sharing this energy and having me on here.
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
So how do people get in touch with you, Nadia, learn about your courses, et cetera, et cetera?
They can visit my website. I'm at bravezone.ca, B-R-A-V-E-Z-O-N-E, bravezone.ca. And my Instagram handle is Nadia, Nadia.bravezone. So yes, I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch.
Yay. And for all the listeners, you know, because I love these conversations, I'm like, subscribe to the Wake Up to Real Love podcast. Please leave a 5-star review, share with anybody that you feel would benefit from this conversation, which I feel like we all do.
Yeah,
I always gain so much insight, you know, and everything that you say, I'm thinking like, oh, what did I do then? Or how did I do that? Or what can I do differently? I mean, I'm always learning. So. Please share with as many people because here we are trying to raise the consciousness of the planet and help people, you know, give people hope to feel to feel.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. To shift their limiting beliefs, you know, to recognize that self-love and self-care is not selfish. That the more
Absolutely.
That we, the more that we love and take care of ourselves, I feel like the greater capacity we allow other people to do the same. And
exactly.
That just makes everybody rise, right?
Yes, totally. So thank you for doing this because, like you said, you know, you want to raise the consciousness, and it's an amazing thing that you're doing, having this podcast. So,
thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. And just a reminder, I mean, because the mantra of my podcast is the most important relationship you'll ever have is the one you have with yourself, because that sets the stage
Absolutely.
Really for, you know,
Absolutely.
Deep and meaningful relationships. And
we're not conditioned to believe that though.
Well, this is why we're here. To
yes.
change that belief system, and that no matter what you've experienced, you know, the trauma that you experienced growing up, the heartache that you experienced in your marriage, it's like nobody deserves to suffer. I mean, we all have suffering. It's all part of the human condition, but what can we do ourselves to empower ourselves and make different choices for ourselves and co-create something more beautiful and meaningful and fulfilling in our life, to recognize that, you know what? I am worthy of love. Excuse me. I am worthy of love.
Absolutely. And I started to learn that. When I started to learn that, I said one thing that aligns with what you're saying right now. I said, peace is not a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
It's a right.
Yeah.
So understand that, because for all the people that are listening here, because a lot of people think that they need to put their peace, their need for peace, on the back burner. To do what? To make society happy, so they're not shamed.
Right.
And the last thing I'll leave you with is, the only shame is to have shame. I love that quote. It's
wow.
my favorite. being the disruptor that I am, I have an answer for everything. If somebody comes at me for something and attacks me, my trolls, anything, hey, I have a reason why. That is the power of self-love.
Yeah.
That is the power. You are unbreakable. Hit me with your best shot. Right?
Unapologetically you.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much, Nadia.
Thank you.
And everybody, if you know, you can contact me on all the socials at the Awakening with Dawn, or Dawn Richard, Rishard. I'm having a little issues right now, but I'm sure it'll be fixed soon.
Yes, so, absolutely.
So thank you again, Nadia. You're beautiful, and you're more than welcome to come back anytime. I love talking to you.
Yes, ditto. Thank you so much for that.
All right. So every day, listeners, wake up to more and more real love. Thank you. Take care. See you next time.
Subscribe to the Wake Up to Real Love podcast. Leave 5-star reviews. And of course, share with your friends. You can find Dawn on various social media platforms at Dawn Richard or at The Awakening with Dawn.